I can leave. You must.
Oh, you want English? That's a good, yeah, okay. Can we learn English to stand?
Yeah.
No problem with that? Amen. The Lord has put something in my heart. And it was very hard for me to preach, but it was coming in my heart, and it's especially for you. And it's because the end of this year is coming. The beginning of 2014 is short by. It's coming soon. And as a father over his children, he wants the best. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He wants the best. And as a father, he prepares for his children. He works hard to let his children go to school. He works hard to raise up some property so that when he passes away, he can push the child into the world with something. He takes his children apart and he teaches them wisdom that he has known all the years that he was alive. And so also you have God the Father in heaven. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he wants you to have something, to receive something, so that you can bring it along in your life. He wants to give you something so that you can take it and bring it with you. And that's why he sends his messengers, his angels, to prepare a way for you, to let you come here, to open your ears. He do this all for you because of his wonderful love. And I want to read a quote out of Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, said the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Hallelujah.
Amen.
That is my deepest prayer for you all, that you personally, you yourself, you alone, will know the Savior Jesus Christ. That's why I am preaching for you, because I want you to have a personal relation with him, that you may know him in your heart, that you can sing along with me and say, "Jesus, what he gave to me, no one can destroy it." That is what my deepest wish is, and that's why God sent his son to you, so that he make a way for you, the door to heaven. That he took away all your sins, all he did for you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because he loves you so, so dearly. So I pray that today you will bring something along, that you will take something home, that you will not come here void, just roaming about with your thoughts into the world and just go out the way you came. And my prayer is today for you that you will take something along. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And who knows still what the Bible reading was about? We read the Bible today, and I also want to preach about who knows what it was about. Do you still remember the teen? Yeah, Mysis, young maiden. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the 10 young maidens, the 10 virgins also. That is, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like. At that time, the kingdom of heaven is like. Shall we read it again? Matthew 25:1-13. So in this Bible, you have 10 girls. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 of them were onwijs. We call that onwijs a lot, but onwijs hard. But onwijs is in the eyes of the Lord, not good. So we call onwijs good, but it is onwijs, it's not good. So you have 5 wise and 5 unwise people, foolish. And the 5 wise, they enter into the kingdom of heaven, and the other ones not. So it is a very important thing that we understand this. So let us read Matthew 25, verse 1 till 13. I read. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps, while the bridegroom tarried. They all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they were ready, went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. So today it is about 10 people, 10 virgins. And Jesus starts with, Then shall the kingdom of heaven. And I want to, then is tupos. So this one is not yet come, this time. It's not yet come. This is about your life and after your life, this story. So then means when the kingdom of heaven comes. And the 10 virgins in the olden days, the marriage was not settled if you didn't have 10 bridesmaids. They were virgins. I know nowadays it's very hard to find virgins, I think, for a marriage. But in that day, you had 10 virgins. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And 10 means the full accompanied. A synagogue in the time of Jesus was not allowed to start if you have less than 10 people. So when you have 10 people, that means you are a congregation. That means you are a church. That means you can start. So it means you and me. Because a kingdom is not like a land. You have, if you own a lot of land, you are a landlord. You are lord over that land. You own it. But a kingdom means people. If you are a king, you are not a king over land. You are not a king over cattle, but you are a king over people. So if Jesus talks about the kingdom of heaven, he means kingdom are you and me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So he talks about us, this church, in the future. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 of them were foolish. Amen. So, sometimes you hear preachers say, do this or do that, because maybe tomorrow morning you walk on the street and a car hits you and you're dead. So do it now. And I don't want you to do anything because of fear. But Jesus, in his unfailing love for you, he says, take something along in your life that you will be prepared. That you will be prepared. That you have something in you, with you, that is very important, crucial for eternal life. Crucial for eternal life. So what is that in this story? What is that? Instead, you know what it is. What did the wise have, what the foolish didn't?
Oil.
Oil. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And they had it in their vessels. So, I think this is meaning your heart. You have something in your heart. That we say, have something in your heart, but in your literal heart there is nothing. Than blood and muscle. But it means in your soul, in your mind, in your spirit. Yeah? Take something in your spirit alone. And that is that oil. So what is this oil? Has somebody an idea what that oil is? Okay, I want to illustrate it in 3 points. One, His promise, the promise of Jesus Christ. That is one, the oil. His word of life. His word of life. And third, His spirit. Hallelujah. So, His promise, I want to illustrate it like this. Let's say you have two people that are invited by the king of the kingdom. The great man. Yes? Ura, come. Let's say, Ura, you all know he is very wise, haven't you? You are wise. And I will not take a foolish person because I pray that no one is foolish among you. Yes? So there is also a foolish man. Ura is a boy and he is from a carpenter. He's just a worker, a very hard worker. He works and he gets two men in front of him and says, with a trumpet. And he said, they read a document and say, Ura, is that your name? And he said, yes. You are invited by the king to come. So come. And he said, no time to prepare. He said, no, you have to come now, immediately. So Ura comes along. And there's another one, and he is a boy that is the family of a very rich bankers. Very rich. He goes to high teas and high parties. He plays golf and has a yacht in the Mediterranean. He's rich, rich, rich. And he also gets the two men and says, come, you are invited by the king. And he says, it is time. It is time that he invites me. Yes, time. So he brings Ura alone and that rich boy alone. And they all have to go separately to the king. Separately. So Ura first. And there are two men. He says, Do you know this king? Do you know him? Yes. A wise man says no. But yes, it's a good for now. But let's say he says, yeah, I hear of him, but I don't know him really. Tell me who he is. And they open the document, yeah, and let us read all what these people said to Ura. Watch. Open your Bibles to Hebrews 4, 12-13. Two verses. Hebrews 4, 12 and 13. Hebrews 4, verse 12 and 13. And this is talking about the King. Jesus, his name is also the Word. So, the Word of God. That is Jesus. So here it says, for the Word of God is quick. It's fast, very fast. And powerful, that they read to him. And sharper than a two-edged sword. Piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And of joint and marrow. And discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Wow. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom you have to do today. And they close the scroll. And Ura starts trembling. He says, oh my God. He knows every thought, every intent of my heart. He knows everything. I'm completely naked unto him. Completely naked. He knows everything. And immediately he starts thinking, oh, I've lied against my mother. Oh, I steal this thing from my brother. Oh, and all these things are coming back. And he becomes more and more ashamed. And the doors go open. And he enters in. Oh, I said, please. He enters in. And there is that king in white, shining, so beautiful. He can hardly look at it. Hardly look at it. And this king starts coming forward to him and touch him. He says, I have with great desire to eat with you today. Very great desire. I have desire to eat with you today here with this Lord's Supper. Sit. And he takes the bread and he breaks it and he gives thanks and he says, this bread is my body and it's given to you. Such an amazing words of the king. Such amazing words. And then he took a cup and he poured wine in it and said, this cup is the testament in my blood, which is shed for you personally. Take it. It's yours. And this is a testament. And he was completely amazed. Unbelievable about his words of grace that he has just given. Knowing that he knows all things. Knowing that his eyes were cutting him and knowing every single thought of him. But yet, these were words of grace for you. This is what we do today. Grace. Grace for you. And the foolish boy came in. He says, do you know who is behind the door? He says, of course I know. Open the door. And he goes in by himself. And he hears these words. And what do you think these words do to him? Absolutely nothing. And who knows what a testament is? Everybody knows what a testament is? What is a testament then? Serena, what is a testament? A testament. Do you know what a testament is? A will. A will, yes. So it is the will of Jesus Christ. Yeah, I illustrate it in another way. Let's say you are young and your neighbor is a Christian man and he loves to talk about Jesus and about things, and you are on a hill and he on a day, he painted a city that is on the other side of the hill. A very beautiful painting. It takes him 4 months to complete. And you go every day to sit with him and talk about Jesus and all these things. And many, many, many years later, you see that in the news, you see the picture in the news and you say, this is coming to our town from the famous painter. And you go there and you watch that painting that you were there. And you were thinking of all these stories. And you felt how difficult he had trouble to make this bridge look good. And that he did it 5 times over. And you are looking at it for hours. For hours. And a man comes next to you. And he says, hey, I see you watched that painting for hours. Why is that? And you start telling him about all the days and how the saints did it and how wonderful you thought it was. I said, you know, I am the owner of this painting. I own this painting. And you know what? When I pass away, when I die, I will give it to you. Come on. So he goes to his office and the notaries will come, they write an official document with stamps and with everything, that when he dies, this man, the painting will be yours. So he takes that document alone, a document of proof that you will have it. And Jesus is giving you a document in his blood that you will have eternal life. And he wants you to take it along, to take it home. So that when you are feeling, oh, you have eternal life, you open your Bible, you read, this is my body, it's given for you. Oh yes, I have it again. Hallelujah. Amen. So a testament is a will, is something that is. So you have two things that makes it faith. Two things. One, is it anything worth to you? If it is worthless that he gives you, then it has no value. And second, the person who gives it after his death must die. So, because the painting was not his until that man died. So you must die before you get it. And Jesus was on that cross, punished, beaten, bleeding. And he said, it is finished. And he gave up the ghost. He made that testament valid by his own death. And now you have it. Eternal life. Do you get that thing, that oil that gives you assurance of grace? Assurance of an eternal life? Do you take it home? Do you take it along as oil? Amen. Amen. Think of it. This is what Christ always tries to do for you. He always invites you here so that you will take something along. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Second thing is his words. To be strong in this world as a Christian, you need to also be strong standing on the rock Jesus Christ. You cannot stand against Jehovah Witness, for instance, if you do not know the Bible. If you do not know the Bible, you will be confused by him. Or worse, you will even follow him. If you do not know the Word of God, you have no protection inside of you. And Jesus Christ in his love has made you alive again. You all believe in Christ or not? Yes. And that makes you that he rebirths you into a new person. And now you are a new baby born. Yeah? In Christ. And what does a baby do? He feeds himself. And when he doesn't get it, he cries about it. Yeah? If you are a born again Christian, you need the Word to grow. You need the Word to stand strong. You need the Word to protect yourself against, for instance, these people. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So may God give you hunger for the Word. And some people, they don't like to read. They don't like to read. They open their Bibles and they look at the letters and they start slumbering. They don't like to read, but there are many ways to hear the Word of God. You can come here, listen to the Word of God. You can also go to the internet, and there are millions of sermons to listen to. Millions. You can listen to the Word of God. It's not only reading, but the Word of God is something that you need. It's like a fuel. You are a light. You are the lamp. You are the light. Shining in darkness for your friends. I hear of people going to Emmanuel, to Emmanuel's house, so that he can talk and help them with questions. He's a light unto them, or not?
Yes.
He's a light unto them. And so you also need to be a light for your friends. And you need fuel. Something needs to burn. And it needs to come out and come out and come out. So you need to refuel yourself every time. Go into the Bible. Find find in the words of praise. Let your heart be burned again and let the light shine. Let it shine. Jesus said, you don't put a light under a table, you put it on top of the table so that everybody will enjoy it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So if your light is singing, if your light is praying and instruments, let that light shine. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the word of God is something we really, really need. And I want Apostle Paul says it's so powerful that I want to read it for you. And it is taken from Philippians 2, verse 12 till 16. Philippians 2, verse 12 to 16. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your own salvation. In the word of God, some special words for Theo. There are special words for Ruth. There are special words for you all. Personal words. Personal grace. They are in there. They are for you. Work out your own salvation by reading, by knowing the word of God. I continue. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Oh, please, people, we know that we all do that once in a while. Murmuring, disputing, me included. And I say that to my own shame. Stop it. Do everything without it. No dispute, no memory. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, or among whom ye shine as lights in the world. You see, he also says it. You are shining in the world, holding forth the word of life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. So holding forth the word of life. This is the oil that you need to bring along. Then you are a wise virgin. If you take that oil along in your life, that is the oil that you need to be strong. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay, then. The last point that I want to make is his spirit. So open your Bible to John 7. John 7. The Spirit of God is a promise of God. It's a promise of Jesus Christ that you will receive it. John 7, verse 37 to 39. Yes. Okay, shall I read it? In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He said it so that not all will understand, but the Bible explains what it means. He says in 39, but this faith he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So the oil that you need to bring is the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. He has given you the Spirit of God. By this Spirit of God you believe. By this Spirit of God you say, Abba Father. By this Spirit of God you are kept. as a seal till the end. God has given you something that is so important, so crucial, an oil which is holy, and He brings it inside of you, inside of your heart. And this Holy Spirit will help you. He's a comforter. He's the Spirit of promise. He reminds you what Jesus has said. He helps you overcome sin. He does all these things. He gives you gifts to do great things. He can give you the gift of healing. You pray for somebody and the sickness is gone. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He gives you the gift of prophecy so that you will help the church not to make mistakes. All these things are the Spirit doing inside of you. And that is something that you need to keep. By this Spirit, you can quench it. You can make it feel sad. And that's by ignoring it. Ignoring it. Just do what you want. Just do what you want. While you know inside of your heart you are not doing good. We really all have that sometimes, or not?
Yes.
Am I the only sinner here?
No.
Mm-hmm. We all have that sometimes. You know you are doing wrong, but yet you cannot stop doing it. You know you do it wrong. That is quenching the Spirit of God. But help. Let the Spirit of God help you. Stop doing what you are doing. Let that Spirit renew you totally. Do all things new in my life. That is what the Spirit wants you to do. Completely new. Start over a new life in Him, with Him, with Jesus, till the end. This is the Spirit of God that wants you. That is a seal. It is a like a zegel, yeah, like a stamp that makes sure that you will be great in the end, because God has force of peace to you, so that you will have a great end. This year is coming to an end, and a new beginning comes, and so also our lives will end one day, and a new beginning will come. This story says that all slumbered and slept. Sleeping means dead in the Bible. Yeah? If you slept, you are dead. Not living in this world now. And a great cry comes. The new kingdom of heaven is at hand. And do you have that Spirit along with you? Do you have that word? And do you keep this testimony, this document of grace, this document that says, I will always be saved because He has said to me, this is my body which is given for you. Do you stand behind Christ, not with your own strength, but saying, I have a God. My God has saved me. I am not righteous, but He made me righteous. I am a sinner, but He made me blameless. I did wrong, but He makes me holy. All these things Jesus Christ has done for you. And this one you have to keep every day, so that when you are downcast, the Spirit of God, the Word of God, the promise of God will let your light shine. Amen.
Amen. Amen.